Chapter 17, By All That's Holy. There's a back alley between the tenement buildings. You can't see it from the road, and Iggy takes us along the alley to this other place. You can tell how the door has been busted in and the lock broke, and we go into the dark hallway. The lights come on, and the first thing I notice is the perfume an old lady wears, and the smell of cats. It ain't much, but the old bat who lives here took the greyhound to visit her sister for the holiday, Iggy says. He's trying to smile. The little room is warm and close feeling, and the furniture is real old and saggy. There's a big old TV with a doily on top, and an empty goldfish bowl and piles of newspaper tied up neat with string, and a Bible on this little table by the TV. Also, there's this trick picture of Jesus on the wall, where his eyes keep following you as long as you go cross-eyed looking at it. Ain't much worth taking, Iggy says. My father is looking around, making sure the curtains are closed. You'd think I'd steal for an old woman, he says. Iggy shakes his head. I sure don't. Never you mind, my father says. This will do in a pinch until we get started. I better get back to Loretta. You do that. My father watches the door shut behind him, and he doesn't say anything. I'm just standing there in the middle of the room because I don't know what he wants me to do. Make yourself comfy, boy, he finally says. I'm going to go check and make sure we have a back way out. I'm looking out the door we came in, just looking, when all of a sudden he's there behind me, and I feel the cool air of him on the back of my neck. You wouldn't light out on me now, would you? No, sir, I wouldn't. Sit down, he says. We need to talk, man to man. I sit down in this old lady chair that's so soft I almost sink through the floor, and I'm wondering what happened to the cats. Maybe she took them with her to visit her sister. Or maybe Iggy left them out and they can't get back in. He leans over me and puts his big hands on the arms of the chair and he says, Now, your grandparents say you're nothing but a dysfunctional retard, but no kin of mine is a retard, and that's a fact. So first thing, you've got to start acting smart. Use your head. You've got a situation here going, boy. So the way to handle it, you just do exactly what I say, no matter what. Understood? Yes, sir. His hand shoves through my hair, and I can feel how strong he is, even though he doesn't hurt me. That's good, he says. That's real good. He goes into another room, and I can hear a door banging and stuff being moved around, and when he comes back, he's got this rope in his hands. A boy who doesn't know his own father might be dumb enough to run away, he says. We can't have that, can we? No, sir. No, sir, what? No, sir, we can't have that. What he does is he ties up my feet and hands, and then he loops the end of the rope around his waist. I'm taking sack time while I can, he says. You're as smart as I think you are. You'll get some shut-eye, too. He turns out the light and lies down on the floor beside the chair, with just his arm for a pillow. And for a long time, I can't tell whether he's asleep or pretending. Then I decide it doesn't matter. If I move, the rope will surely wake him. It seems like we're frozen inside that room, even though the air is warm and stuffy. The soft chair keeps a hold of me. I'm not strong enough to get up. My feet and hands are getting tingly where they're tied, and pretty soon I can't even keep my eyes open. I'm half asleep, dreaming a cat is in the other room, meowing for milk, and I'm still thinking about the cat when something tugs me. He's sitting there in the dark, so I can't see his face, and he says, "Wake up, sleepyhead." I better tell my own son a thing or two he needs to know about his own father. First thing, like I already said, I never killed anybody. I'm big like you're big, so folks assume things they shouldn't. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir, I do. Good. Now, the other thing is the geezers you've been living with all these years. I bet they never gave you the presents I sent you, did they? No, sir, they didn't. He shakes his head real sorrowful. That's a crime, not giving a boy presents from his father. I suppose you didn't get the letters I sent. No. If they didn't give over the presents, they likely tore up the letters. Another crime against humanity. That's what that is. They hated me from first sight on account of my appearance, and because I wasn't good enough for their precious daughter, as if a man should be blamed for how fearsome or cruel he looks. When in fact, he's a truly loving person inside, which I am. I can hardly see a sad movie without crying, and I'm not afraid to say so. There's just enough streetlight coming through the curtain so I can make out part of his face when he turns it. You can see where there's a wet spot on his cheek, and he brushes it away. I've been locked up like an animal, he says. Every single night I cried myself to sleep, and that's a fact. Killer Kane, that's just an unkind nickname they hung on me. You know how kids can be mean in school, mean as animals? It was like that, only these weren't kids. They were adults who should know better, except they're so ignorant and hateful. They believe the worst. His voice is sort of ragged, but you can't help but listen to him. You follow the words up and down like you're riding through mountains, and you can't see to either side. All you can see is the road just ahead. A great injustice was done to me, boy, he says. What those people did, they stole my life. They took years away from me. Might as well have cut my heart out with a knife. That's how it was to lie awake each night and think about the injustice that was done to me. They blame me for all the wrongs in the world, those people. By which I mean the geezers, her folks, that always hated me. And of course, the police who failed to see the truth of the situation. He stops to rub away another stream of tears. There's no crying in his voice. You can't hear it. But sure enough, the tears are all over his face, slick and shiny in the pale, pale light. I woke up just now worrying that you might wonder why I never did mention her, your mother. You might still be thinking the wrong way on that and believe what they told you. You being such a tiny little thing when it happened, how could you know the truth of it? He gets up and then he goes over by the TV set, far enough so that the rope is tugging at me. And then he's back and he's got a book in his hands. You know what this is, boy? The Bible, I say. And I'm putting my other hand over my heart. Can you see that? Yes, sir, I can. That's a good boy. Now listen up. I, Kenneth David Kane, do swear by all that's holy that I did not murder this boy's mother. And if that isn't the truth, may God strike me dead. I'm waiting to see if something happens, and nothing does. The room is the same. It smells of an old lady perfume and missing cats. And my hands and feet are still tied by a rope to his waist. Satisfied, he says? I want to answer him, but my throat closes up and my tongue is so dry, I can't hardly open my mouth. I keep thinking about how heavy his hand was on that Bible. I asked you a question, boy. Yes, sir, I said. I'm satisfied. He lays back down after that, and pretty soon he's breathing heavy again. I can't sleep, though. I just sit there like a lump until the sun comes up, trying not to think about the things I didn't want to remember.